Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Welcome to a joint Lorehounds and Properly Howard podcast covering A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms on HBO Max. I'm John. With me today, she's working on her puppet routine, Alicia.
Alicia too small.
And he'll never beat you unless you deserve it, Dr. Anthony LaDon.
Or if I'm just feeling in the mood.
Today we're recapping season one, episode one, The Hedge Knight. We'll give our hot takes on the episode, then go into a scene by scene breakdown.
The main breakdown will be on this feed, this very feed that you're on right now. But if you want a Sunday night instant take or Friday feedback, you can join us over at Properly Howard Movie Review. You can do a search for Properly Howard wherever you search for podcasts. And why not subscribe to that? You'll hear Steve and I talk about a little Knight of the Seven Kingdoms a little bit more.
And you can send those emails to smallcouncil@thelorehounds.com. And I think you also have cocoonsofhorror@gmail.com, right, Anthony?
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to send, small council is probably the best place. But of course, you can always email either Steve or I at cocoonsofhorror@gmail.com.
Very cool.
And if you like what you've heard and want to support us or get ad-free bonus content, then check the link tree in the show notes for our Patreon and Supercast subscription options.
Check out our season preview for our coverage plans and backgrounds on the season. But now we're done with that awkward intro that is fitting for this show.
That was especially awkward. Very dunk of us.
I think that was really a very dunk and egg intro because, I mean, this guy cannot have a conversation without stumbling into something terrifying.
Mostly we were just here for supper.
That's right. So let's go right into our hot takes. Anthony? I mean, I know you already had your hot take Sunday, but
why don't
you
start anyway? After watching the episode a couple times now, I just sucks to be a squire in Westeros. It's just got to be the worst. You pick one of the biggest guys in the village, and you just volunteer to follow him around and let him beat you for a few years, and he may or may not decide to elevate you to knighthood. But he'll mock you. He'll slap you, you know, numerous times, and he might kick you through a fence and call you a worthless rat. I mean, the squires in this show are not faring very well.
But to be fair, are even the children of nobles in, say, Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon, there are a few loving families in the midst, but in the most cases, that's the same treatment they get as well.
The physical violence to these squires is just a notch higher, it seems to me.
Perhaps. They're less worried about ruining their squire than ruining their heir.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Egg will fare a little bit better for poor Raymond Fossaway.
Would you rather constantly eat only salt beef, or would you rather have to eat the mystery stew in Flea Bottom?
A bowl of brown?
The bowl of brown.
Look. In one of the sources for this world, what a knight does is he's got hardened beef, and he takes his helmet, fills it with river water, and then soaks the beef in the water for about half an hour to soften it up, and then he just eats sloppy steak.
That whole thing sounded very pornographic.
It sounds really bad. I mean, people love bowl of brown. It's an acquired taste, and you don't know what's in it, but at least people are coming back.
Yeah. All right. I think I'll go with the bowl of brown or the mystery community stew, as people were calling it when it showed up in Wheel of Time. At least I can lie to myself about what's in there.
But you'll always know the rat's in there somewhere.
I mean, I don't eat meat at all, so...
Rat wouldn't be as rat, bad as...
Beef, I don't think you get much of a choice in the bowl of brown.
It might be a head. It might be a head that was on a spike initially that's thrown in the bowl of brown.
Meat is meat. If you're forcing me to eat meat, what do I care?
Meat is meat. I guess you would go well in Yellow Jackets, Alicia. What did you
or
think?
Or Pluribus, for that matter.
I do often think about how I could be a vegetarian in this world. Like how, if I went back in time, and thankfully there actually are, going back to like Greek times, Pythagoras and stuff is a vegetarian. The Romantics were like, Percy Shelley is a vegetarian. But anyway, how did I feel about this very non-vegetarian show? I had a shitting good time. Are we being spoiler free right now?
We'll go full spoilers right away. Cause you know, this okay. we did our spoiler free preview and this is all spoilers.
A point of clarification, spoilers on the first
episode. Spoilers for the first episode. Yeah,
yes,
spoilers.
For the first episode of the show, not for the books.
Right. We have all three of us read the books, but we are not going to spoil that unless we do at the end of this episode. I don't know if you set that up. But yeah, spoilers for this episode. I thought it was perfect. I thought it was really great. The only person I saw who had like the smallest complaint about it was just like, I wish there were more egg. And I was like, well, don't worry. There will be for the rest of the show. So that was just a this episode thing. But I really liked how they expanded, especially the Laughing Storm. I thought that he was another one who was perfectly cast, and that just that whole scene, it set up a warm, cozy place in the midst of, I would say, by the way, people who don't want to be spoiled and who haven't yet watched the weeks ahead, don't watch that trailer. But for those who have, you know that there's some brutal stuff coming up, as is wont in this universe. And so it's nice to have this cozy moment to begin with, where we get to see who Dunk is at his best and at his most awkward, right next to each other. So I liked it. What about you?
Great. Yeah. I thought it was great. I thought they nailed the tone. They made me laugh. I did listen to, I shouldn't have done this, but I listened to Anthony and David's hot takes before I watched the episode.
And so,
because I was like, I know the plot already.
What's the matter it's with fine. You?
What's, I don't know. But I wish I had been surprised. I thought it was so stupid of me. But anyway, it's because I've been like cleaning out a house that I'm my mother's house and I'm trying to sell, and like I just needed to lay down and close my eyes, but I was like, I really want to watch the show. I'll just listen to Anthony and David describe it in my ears. As soon as he talked about like the theme going into shitting, I was like, oh, I wish I had watched that first.
It was a little bit shocking. It was it made me laugh out loud. And I think it only works if you know that the music that is swelling up behind him in that hero shot is meant to make you feel a certain way. Like everything's possible for this guy. He's down on his luck now, but maybe, just maybe, he'll ascend to the Iron Throne. And then nope, explosive diarrhea.
This is not that show.
Imagine this, it cuts in there, like dysentery. It's actually over. It was just a one shot episode. You've lost the Oregon Trail of Westeros.
Opening shot, full on rain. Just full on rain, a corpse, a grave, a shallow grave at that. And I
mean, just yet, like the book.
Yeah, just like the book. And yet, it just, the rest of the show just, it just lit so well. And you just think, it's just very, it feels very hopeful. It feels like, who are these delightful heroes that I'm meeting for the first time? And why do they exist in Martin's world? They just seem so out of place.
I know. But I am very excited to see where it goes, because I think it does still feel like Westeros to me. And everything, even though it's joyful, it all feels dangerous. And I think that's right. Like it does feel like Dunk could like bump into the wrong person and get his head cut off in like 5 minutes. So I'm happy with it. I'm ready to talk about it. Let's get right to the breakdown. We start off with goodbye, Sir Arlen. A young knight named Dunk buries his late master, Sir Arlen of Pennytree. He contemplates his next move with his three horses and decides to go on a grand adventure, starting with the tourney at Ashford Meadow, but not before he clears his bowels.
Listen, it's important.
It is, you know?
Better out than in.
There was this Tolkien quote. I forgot what it was. I forgot exactly how he phrased it, but people said, why aren't there sex in your books? He's like, well, I don't show everything people do. Like, I don't show them pooping. And Martin goes, hold my beer. Let me show you all.
You know
shit.
What? That makes a lot of sense. I've never heard that quote before, but one of the ways that you determine high fantasy from other kinds of fantastic storytelling is the question of whether the characters poop or not. This is sort of a conversation that literary theorists have. Do your characters live in a world where poop happens? And a lot of times you know, like in Tolkien, they just don't. They don't. It's not discussed.
You don't think the hobbits poop?
Of course they do. But is there any evidence? You know,
I mean, the elves don't poop. That's for sure.
I know that Elrond doesn't think his shit stinks.
That's right. For
sure. And yet there are still more bathrooms in Rivendell than there are in New York City.
You mean because every waterfall is a bathroom?
It's almost a determining genre. It's a genre indicator. And then, of course, this show seems to be the kind of show where you might see a moment of explosive diarrhea.
I mean, at least nobody got shot while pooping. So this is not as low as it goes in George R. Martin's
No world. Horses were harmed during the filming of this.
You didn't want to see just one speck of brown go right into a blinking horse eye. Anyway. Or should the robin have been knocked out of the tree by a loose?
Let's spider. Leave the animals alone.
They're not real. Well, I guess the horses are real.
I did hear on the official podcast that they said they were, or was it an interview somewhere? I don't know. Anywhere, somewhere I heard they were interviewing the showrunner and they asked him, is there anything where you were like, that's went too far and decided not to do it? And they said at one point there was a talk of having a conversation with two people leaning over a trough like that, pooping and talking. Because obviously that was a real thing that would happen, but then someone would fall in and they decided against that. So that was them showing restraint.
You mentioned the horses. I feel like people will want to know these horses have names.
Yay.
Sweetfoot, Thunder, and Old Chestnut. And of course, you know, does Dunk really need three horses? You know, that's the question. You know, and should a knight ever really get too attached to his horses? It's another question that we have to answer. But we haven't we don't have quite enough information to answer those yet. But I know that people get attached to animals in the show.
Well, he did say, you know, if I could sell the three of you and eat royally for however much time. They are more valuable than anything else he has.
That's right.
Well, those horses have to get in the stable. And Dunk arrives at the inn and gives a bald young stable boy his horses. Inside, he learns Ashford Meadows is a day away, but draws the ire of a drunken patron who claims to have seen Dunk in his dreams. Outside, the stable boy asks Dunk to squire for him in the tourney, but Dunk refuses. He tosses the boy a copper before riding off with fresh oats.
So question for you guys about Ashford Meadows. This conversation did come a little bit later, but someone seemed to imply, who was it who was talking about the history of jousting? And Baratheon?
Yeah.
And he seemed to imply that the first joust was there at Ashford Meadows, or did I misunderstand that?
That's what he was implying, and it I think that this is a show only detail because I searched around for this and it doesn't seem like there's a mythology that has been sort of put forth by Martin suggesting that this is sort of the birthplace of Joust. But of course, as we know with any kind of myth making, does it really matter? does it really matter where it comes from?
But I guess it makes you know, if this is a sort of anniversary, it also explains why there's some really highborn people there as well in this backwater place.
Yeah, that's a good question. Why are the Targaryens, why are Targaryen princes about?
Well, I think of the tourney as like the level up events of these nobles, right? Like they have to prove themselves in some tourneys to be taken a little more seriously if they are in the lower houses. But I guess the Targaryens, I don't know, there's enough of them where maybe they do want to prove themselves.
Well, and there are no more dragons, right? So how do you prove yourself in peacetime? Since everything has been conquered. You don't have these great magical beasts to strike awe into the common folk. Maybe you have to demonstrate a little bit of martial prowess.
You have to hit other rich boys off horses with big sticks.
That's right. What do we think of Mr. Gold Dragon? This is where I wish David were here because we need a non-book reader to speculate on this.
Mr. Gold Dragon, not a lot to go on here. I think that there's just enough clues in this little bit to leave most viewers to speculate on like what house he's from and is he is this guy connected to King's Landing at all? You know, these are questions that it seemed to come about. Now, here's the issue. A gold dragon on the table for, I don't know how much, you know, how much ale was involved and a bed upstairs. That's a pretty, you know, for an establishment where you don't even get a clean cup to drink out of. That's a big,
she cleaned it. She drank right out of it before refilling.
That's right. Yeah, no, he's a big spender and, you know, it kind of also, you know, you juxtapose that coin against the copper that's thrown at the stable boy's feet.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in the story, you're like, these coins seem to be of entirely different monetary family.
Yeah, I know David was asking about it in the Discord. And yeah, that's you know, the copper versus the gold, right? It's a penny.
It would take somebody. I just looked it up.
Bill. Like 100, yeah.
It would take 1,470 of those copper stars.
Oh, okay.
For one golden dragon.
All right. I've seen people pointing out two things about Mr. Gold Dragon, so we're safe to point them out. One is that he talked about a dream, and of course, we know by now, anyone who has been around Westeros before knows that dreams are always worth paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, what did he say? He said, basically accusing Dunk of like being after him or something, and Dunk's like, I don't know you, dude. And then the other thing people notice is that he was carrying a certain dagger. Now, this would be a show thing, but people wondered if they recognized the dagger.
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not recognize the dagger. I paused. I looked. I studied. I don't think that this is a dagger I've seen.
I think in your hot take with David, he raises it the cat's paw. And it's definitely not the cat's paw. Now that when I watched it thinking of that, I was like, this is not the cat's paw dagger. But, we'll see. Maybe we'll find out what it is.
But he has blonde hair and he has dreams.
I wonder who he could be.
and gold dragons.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're not being subtle about this. But that's okay, because I don't think that they need to be subtle about this. Like, this is the Martin's three-step reveal. Is like, if you're paying attention to this universe, sure, you understand. And then if this is, for some reason, the first thing that somebody consumes in Westeros, maybe they will be surprised.
I mean, but what's to be, he's called a lord. He's he's acknowledged as an important lord by Dunk.
Right.
Just on
site. On top of that, when Dunk gets to Ashford Meadow and talks to Mr. Master of Games, he says there's princes about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's, you know, specifically the title prince is connected to a particular house with country.
With blonde hair and dreams.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we have the appearance of Egg for the first time. We know his name from later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
What was everybody's first impression of Egg? The portrayal, you know,
perfect
characterization.
I was a little skeptical at first. I think early on, I was thinking, I don't know if this is working. And I don't feel like it was until the end of the episode that I actually felt like, okay, all right, you can be Egg. This is going to be fine.
Yeah, he does. I think he sells it at the end when he's, you know, trying to not get a cloud in the ear, and he's kind of smirking as Dunk acknowledges what he said. I think that was probably the best moment. His voice is very high, and it just like surprised me the first time he spoke.
He's a child.
I know he's a child, and I have children, but my children are smaller than that, so I don't know.
When and
I
saw they're all children, smokers. Child, they're all chain smokers.
All my children are chain smokers.
Dad, give me some milk. Yep.
So this was Sarah's first viewing of any Game of Thrones property, and she was a little bit taken out of this by Egg, and the reason why is she thought, it just seems too close to Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh.
And
that's so
funny. She just could not see.
He just looks too much like Aang.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, Aang, Egg, it's sort of like just, I think it's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, she was like, derivative. So... You know, I guess it never even occurred.
No, never. But I think it's also hopefully she'll lose that feeling as she gets to know him more, because I don't say, I guess they are cheeky characters, both of them, Aang and Egg.
Yeah, that's right. They're about the same age, right?
They're about the same age. They're cheeky characters. One has a blue arrow. This one does not. I mean, for me, I thought Egg was perfectly what I was expecting, but I can't really elaborate on that too much yet at this point until we get to know Egg a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not really a spoiler to say we're going to find out more about his life. And I think that determines a lot of things about him that I was paying attention to. In this first introduction, and I felt like that part was nailed, just, you know, in sort of him being who I expected to be. I don't know. And I just love, I have to say, I've been going down the rabbit hole of watching the interviews between the two actors, and they are just delightful together. They go to the arcade like every day, and they're saving up tickets to get him a PS5. And I just love their dynamics off screen and, well, I mean, you know, on an interview screen, and also in the show. I just think it's exactly what I was hoping for, the dynamic between the two of them.
I liked the I liked the exchange that they have when he's on the horse. It's like this, he's dressed up like a knight. He's on the horse. He's pretending. He's a kid. He's playing pretend on horseback. He's playing dress up. And when Dunk walks in and yells at him, like, I legitimately believe, like, he's shocked. And the exchange that they have is very older brother, younger brother kind of exchange. And I think that it's helpful to remember that I think we're supposed to assume that Dunk isn't more than a teenager.
In the books, he's not, but he's definitely played by, I think the actor is almost 30, and I can't
That's pretend right. otherwise with my eyes. Do they want us to feel that he is just really big for his age, and he's actually
I don't think so. Kind of
come into his adulthood?
I think they've just aged him up, as they do with a lot with characters in the show. And honestly, for me, I prefer it that way. Like, I get... I mean, okay, so the idea about him being a teenager is... Of course, he's a squire who hasn't been knighted. But isn't there something interesting about the fact if he is in his 20s and still hasn't been knighted, then, and you know, that whole scene we saw intercut where he's remembering asking Arlen if he'll ever knight him, and he just kind of changes the subject, you know, that takes on a whole new dimension. And
doesn't change the subject, chews and spits.
Right. Okay.
No acknowledgement whatsoever. I have to say, this is quite a wet episode. A lot of bodily fluids just flying everywhere. That's right. Moist.
Moist. People love that word. You should say
everyone
it more
loves, Everyone loves moisture.
Anthony, you have talked about, you know, I've listened to your coverage of these stories, and you have talked about something that I hadn't necessarily fully considered before, which is the question of, is Dunk telling the truth when he says Sir Arlen knighted him? And I always kind of thought, I guess with the books, like, sure, yeah, sure, why not? But now with the show, I'm thinking, I don't think so. I think that is Dunk's one and only lie in life.
So I think it's interesting. I think that one of the interviews I heard with the showrunner is that they thought that they would leave it intentionally ambiguous. So if you're going to leave it ambiguous, it feels like if that's the case, I'm going to revert to book content. And if I'm using my sort of bookish eyes on this show, I think that there are several indicators that Dunk never was dubbed. But then the question is, well, what is a knight? Is a knight someone who's made a vow before the gods, or is the knight someone who does justice and defends the innocent? And I think that you're going to meet several voices throughout this show that have a different view on knighthood. And I think it's up to the reader to come to their own conclusion about whether or not Dunk is actually a knight, given all of the various definitions that various people have. I think by the master of games, I don't think we get his name, by his definition, Dunk would not be a knight, because I don't think that Arlen ever dubbed.
I think that's probably right. And I have to say, Sir Arlen was way more of a dick in the show than we ever got in the book. And I think that's really because it's not, you know, it's not first person POV, but it's more from Dunk's perspective in the books. Whereas here we're getting a little bit more objective view, I think. And these flashback scenes, like, this guy was just a straight up dick.
But I also wonder if that's selected for the first episode to paint him a certain way, and if we'll get more context. Because that's, someone, I was speaking to a friend who hasn't read the books, show only, and that was the first thing. She was like, he's awful. And I was like, yeah, I wonder if they will soften that as the season goes on.
It's an interesting question. Picture. Oh, definitely look out for that. Here, I was just rereading part of the novella today, and this is not a spoiler for anything. It just goes to Arlen's character. What it says is that Arlen was always generous with his praise because it was the only thing he had to be generous with. You know, it basically to say, look, Arlen of Pennytree was kind of a poor hedge knight, but he would at times lavish praise onto his squire. In this show, Arlen has no speaking lines aside from yelling in agony. He has no words. He has no words for Dunk at all.
So far,
He speaks with his fist. So it's a major character change between what we know of Arlen from Dunk's memory in the books versus what we know of Dunk's memory in the show.
You know, with this dynamic in the show kind of reminded me of, John, was from What We Do in the Shadows, Guillermo and and what's his face? Was it Laszlo?
Nandor. Nandor is his master.
Will you ever make me a vampire? And then the sort of abusive slash. Yeah.
Anthony, you're a fan of that show too, are you?
I've never seen more than one episode, and it's up my alley. Absolutely, I know that I would enjoy it. I've just never got around to it.
Well, there's a similar. Why won't he just do it? energy in that show. Why won't he just turn him? And so that's interesting. I like that parallel, Alicia. Smart. Why don't we talk more about Dunk's credentials? We're on to Ashford. Dunk arrives at Ashford Meadows and attempts to register for the tourney. He's initially rebuffed, but the scribe tells him if he can get another knight or lord to vouch for him, he can enter the lists. Dunk is reminded that should he lose, he'll have to ransom back his armor and horses. Dunk attempts to find Sir Manfred Dondarrion, but is mocked by Manfred's nighttime companions. I was trying to figure out the proper term to use for them here. He decides to return when Sir Manfred isn't napping. Napping off his gouty toes.
I loved the exchange between Dunk and the sex workers. I think it really shows that he views himself of a lower station than almost everyone at this tournament. Like, he feels so out of place. He's such a fish out of water at this tournament that the only real conversation partner he has that he feels equal with is his horse. He does not know how to speak to anyone else. And he's just kind of fumbling his way through. And of course, they think he's hilarious, you know? And I love the, you know, of course, show only flourish, but I love the dynamic between the, their names are Daisy and Bioni.
Bioni? Okay.
Yeah, Bioni. And here, I wrote it down. I'll make sure I've got it right. But yeah, B-E-O-N-Y.
Okay.
Daisy's the redhead, and
didn't
Bioni,
they both have red hair?
Oh, I guess, yeah. they're both.
Didn't know.
And they seem to have a great dynamic. They seem to have a certain kind of cynicism that Dunk is not used to. And of course, they're both attractive women, which is going to make Dunk feel uncomfortable. And I thought that little conversation he has with them does a lot to establish who he is and how naive he is and how earnest he is in comparison to everyone else we're going to meet.
Yeah. Well, I think that whole hedge knight like a real knight but sadder was David's most quoted line from the trailer. But also, I loved in this conversation, they kept referring to him as it. Like, did Manfred sleep with its wife? Like, no.
All right, so that's Daisy. And I'm just wondering, do you think that that's Daisy's just preferred way of talking? Or do you think that she's chosen this particular pronoun just to mess with him?
Yeah, I think she's belittling him.
Okay, all right.
I think that, but also he's so gigantic. I thought it was almost like the creature has come to claim its pride. You know, like I took it more like that. I really love what you said on the instant take, Anthony, where you said this guy is the one honest guy, the one earnest guy in Westeros. I think that's
really
such a fun way to watch this show.
It does feel like Game of Thrones is Martin's cynical deconstruction of knighthood in many ways. And I feel like this show is almost a subversion of the previous deconstruction. It's like, well, what if there was a good knight? Wouldn't that be kind of fun? And so it's almost like our expectations for a Game of Thrones property is going to have a sea of the laughing storms and, you know, these cynical sex workers and, you know, fossaways who are beating each other bloody. And now we're going to meet our hero. And guess what? He's completely different than anyone else we've seen on the screen.
And when we've seen good knights or good leaders in previous shows, you know, then they get beheaded pretty quickly or have their wedding ruined. So, yeah, it is something like, what if, not just what if a good person existed, it's like, what if a good person could be recognized for their goodness without immediately being killed for it?
And I think we see in this episode that, you know, well, this show, like you point out, Alicia, this world has often taken advantage of people with an honesty and an innocence to them. It can also work in their favor for at least a tall guy. Who knows? What did we think? I love the scribe. I called him the scribe, but I guess he's the game master, right? The guy that Dunk is signing up with. Oh my God, his spitting was so well timed for comedy. Amazing. And I love that he messes with him because that wouldn't work on like anybody else in this world. This whole joke of like, we string you up and whatever else to if you fake your oaths. And then he's like, I'm kidding.
I feel like that was for the bloodthirsty audiences at home.
Yeah, it is another way to subvert the story. Like we know what you expect from, you know, we know you've been watching House of the Dragon. This is not that. This is going to take a different tone. I thought his jokes kind of fell flat. Like I feel like that was the one part of the show that I was a little disappointed at. Wasn't thrilled with the nomenclature, like bullshitting. That feels like a more modern euphemism. I don't feel like that's the kind of thing I would read in the books or hear in any of the other shows. I felt like you already did a couple things to indicate that this show is a little different. And I don't know if I needed that guy, like, explaining to me that he was joking. But Sarah laughed a lot at that guy. She really loved him. She loved his spitting. So, you know, and you know, I don't want to yuck someone else's yum. Again, very moist show.
And it was moist slapstick. And, you know, we're slapping around some moist items and making sure that everyone is going home laughing.
Is this like from Super Troopers where he has to say meow as many times as possible? Did somebody give you that challenge with moist? Did you lose a draft with Anthony and now your punishment is you have moist. To say moist as much as
How
possible?
Many times can we say moist?
Alicia, let me ask you. Turn off the podcast and write an angry email. Go ahead.
I have a question for Alicia. Mr. Administrator says, look, my lord thinks he's a great man. Gods know why. But there's princes about, and so we're sending away sellswords and landed knights. And so on the surface, you're like, okay, that makes sense. And you think about it a little bit more, and you think, landed knights? You're sending away landed knights? Like, a landed knight is a knight who's made good. A landed knight is a knight with a holdfast, with lands and servants.
So what?
Why would he send away landed knights?
Yeah. So what room? How many? What does that leave room for in terms of what kinds of knights can be there?
Like just princes? It doesn't make sense because the Fossaways are certainly not lords or whatever. And so I wonder if we just have a misunderstanding of what a landed knight is, or if
I'm going to be honest, I missed that line.
Okay, I keep sticking on it, and I'm thinking maybe I should not view anyone in this conversation as really having a good handle on the way tournaments work. Like maybe this guy's new at his job. I don't know.
It does seem like an oversight, doesn't it?
A little bit. Yeah. Anyway, that guy was my only. My only negative experience was Mr. Phlegm. Otherwise, I love the show from the start.
I mean, are they trying to like thin the herd of talent? Is that possible?
Possibly. I don't know.
So that, you know, to allow certain people to win?
Okay. Yeah, maybe they've sent away certain landed knights because they don't want the princes to be embarrassed or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they just forgot to include hedge knights. They didn't even think about them because they're so pitiful.
Maybe so.
But I mean, like, they have to have someone
certainly
there.
Better than a hedge knight.
Right.
Yeah.
They have to have someone there for the nobles to beat.
Absolutely.
And Dunk seems like he's ripe for the beating. He's mm-hmm. gotten a lot of clouts to the ear, and he's ready to get another one. Let's take a quick break, and then we will get back to the episode.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Dunk runs into the gruff Sir Stefan Fossaway and his kinder cousin Raymond, but won't be goaded into a fight with Stefan. Instead, he finds a quiet tree and pond to watch off his stinking. Dunk is again rebuffed by the companions of Sir Manfred and unable to see him. The sex workers encourage Dunk to find a safer trade. Dunk then catches a high production value puppet show and receives an invite to the party, to a party by Raymond Fossaway.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so Tansy's supposed to be a puppeteer, but she was really more of like the MC of the puppet show. The puppet was even bigger than she was.
She looked really pleased with the performance of the puppet, and I'm thinking that she makes the puppets.
Okay.
And somebody else does the, moving of them.
Were there people inside them, or was that operated by string? Because that was like a full-size puppet. That was really impressive. Yeah.
If that's not something one person could operate.
It's a little bit like you could see people in dark clothing with like poles connected to certain joints. And, in the book, it's actually little puppets on a string. And this is sort of like a more full on Jim Henson style, Big Bird kind of puppet. And there might be someone inside, to sort of fill out the bulk of this thing. But yeah, I would imagine that, she's a narrator, right? So she's the storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's her main job, but it's possible. Well, we just don't know a whole lot more about her, except for that Dunk is instantly in love.
Right. Yeah, what do you think makes him fall for? I mean, we've seen him interact with a few women this day. What do you think makes him immediately fall for her rather than he's awkward around her, but in a different way?
I mean, look, if he's still a young kid, he just might be completely taken by the narrative. And just sometimes when you're a kid and you see a live performance, you might fall in love with an actor simply because you're so taken by the story. And, it could be, and who knows? The heart wants what it wants,
The moisture pools where it pools.
His whole life he wanted a puppeteer,
Like in the book, a lot of the conversations in this episode, they definitely added and changed some things somewhat as we've been discussing, but a lot of the conversations were ripped straight out of the book. So I'm looking forward to some interactions. I know there's some iconic interactions that where Tansy reveals more about herself. So that's something to look forward to hopefully next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Something else I'm looking forward to is the budding friendship with Sir Raymond. Not Sir Raymond. I'm sorry, Squire Raymond.
Yeah.
He makes very clear that he's not a knight in this conversation, actually.
Yeah. But hey, he knows where the good food is. He knows how to get around in the shadows. Only he's not used to Dunk's size, where Dunk can't skulk in the shadows.
Okay, let's talk about this guy. All right, because I think at first blush, he's trustworthy. But he suggests that they go to the Baratheon tent, start eating the Baratheon food, and then when Dunk gets called to the carpet and ask, why are you in my tent? Where's Raymond? Where's the wingman?
Yeah.
He's not anywhere to be found. He's not like, oh, well, so my lord, I invited him. He didn't know any better. There's no coming to Dunk's rescue. What happened to Raymond after that?
Do we even see him in the rest of the episode?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
He just lured him right into that trap.
That's right.
It's a trap.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What do? You bite a Danish and you're all done for.
You do get the sense that this is maybe his first time in a big lordly pavilion, right? Just the amount of food. The amount of food that's being served and the variety of food that are being served. And he's got wide eyes and it's like he's never been to a party before.
Yeah. And also he mentioned something, you know, when Raymond says, are you hungry? He goes, always. And I was just thinking, like, this man is cultivating mass, in the words of, you know, Mac from It's Always Sunny. He's cultivating mass, and he must require so many calories to maintain this height and weight ratio. Where is he getting them? He has no money. He has no prospects.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that was a kindness from Sir Arlen that he kept the boy fed.
Maybe that's why
Arlen was so poor.
Yeah, exactly. Dunk ate all his. He actually used to be a landed knight, but Dunk ate all his reserves.
Yeah.
I also think it's interesting that we don't talk about the Fossaways ever with their apple insignia, but I thought that was really fun. How, because it's like an apple feels like such a wholesome, innocent symbol.
Yeah.
And then you see at least Raymond's cousin is the worst. Like, he sucks. He's a rotten apple. His should have a worm poking out of it.
Yeah, he's rotten to the core. They love to traffic in apple puns, which maybe is a indicator of something more nefarious. And I think it's interesting that these two guys are from a very old house in Westeros that lost their lordship during the Dance of Dragons. And so I think that these guys are thinking, okay, well, our house has fallen from its earlier glory, but maybe if we can do well at this tournament, maybe improve our lot in life. So anyway, something to look out for. So,
you know, I heard that when these two were children, they actually all went together. There were about six of them, and they found an apple tree, and one of the apples was white, and they gave that to the bastard son of the fossil.
I don't get it.
This is a ghost.
Oh, because of the dire wolves. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. Oof.
Listen, the white one's the best. Ghost, where are you?
An albino apple. That's where we're going with it. So let's get to the feast, because I think that's going to be a nice meaty section, pun intended. Dunk eats his fill at the feast of Lionel Baratheon, the Laughing Storm. What a cool name, by the way.
Yeah.
Sir Lionel gives an incoherent speech before offering 100 gold to the man, beast, or god who sticks him best. And I think, by the way, that is a multiple meaning request. Eventually, Lionel calls up Dunk and asks what Dunk brought him. When Dunk has nothing, Lionel challenges him to a dance battle and breaks out the Laughing Storm. When Dunk finally lands a stomp on Lionel's foot, they become besties and have a heart-to-heart about Dunk's prospects. After the party, Dunk meets Sir Manfred and pleads his case, but has no success.
I love the little detail of, you know, when they're just having their drunken chat, Dunk is just casually wearing his crown.
Yes.
It's great. That's
great. And then he just, when they're done with their chat, he just reaches over and just takes it off his head. And is like, all right, here we go.
That was fun. Bedtime.
You know, I have to say, on Sir Lionel, the actor I thought had iPhone face at first. Like, he seemed too modern. He seemed too, like, put together for this role. But he really sold me by the end. I was pretty sure he was going to kiss Dunk at one point. because they were getting very close, and he was like, you know, he was like really into Dunk, especially after getting stomped.
He's like, you'd be fun in the bedroom. No, I could see it. I mean, you know, why call him over? Yeah, he's a tall guy, but I don't know.
Okay, I've got a theory about this. All right, okay. So he's a tall guy who he's never seen before. I think he might want to measure him up.
Mm.
Then when Dunk comes over, Dunk does not kneel. And
right.
It seems very odd in this world for, I mean, he's a great lord. He's a lord of a great house. And so for Dunk not to kneel, it just seems really weird and awkward. And I think that might motivate why Lionel says, do you get punched in the face often? Because I feel like it's true. A direct reply to like, what are you doing? And right. Then he has this long explanation of how, because he's a lord, everyone either wants his help or his head. And it's a very sort of Game of Thronesy conversation. Like, you can imagine like Cersei and Littlefinger having this conversation. What do you want? If you're here in my tent, what do you want? Do you want my help or do you want my head? And it turns out Dunk just wants supper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is kind of like a little bit refreshing. Like, okay, this is going to be a different kind of conversation I normally have.
Supper, I think I can do. Right. Yeah.
And so I think that this right. kind of conversation reveals kind of the disparity between the kinds of conversations that you might have in a pavilion like this versus the kind of conversations that the squires are having outside around the campfire. And of course, Dunk probably belongs outside around the campfire.
Mm-hmm.
But it just so happens that this guy is attracted to Dunk for some reason. And they have a nice time dancing and drinking together.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I hope that there's more moisture between them. Because I'm just into it. I think that they're going to be a great couple. I'm shipping them.
Mm. And forget their baby the egg. Lady.
Forget the puppet lady.
We barely know her.
That's right. Lord Lionel has my heart.
I mean, honestly, he seems like a lot of fun. You're going to go down like in flames. You're going to go down in flames, but you're going to have a good time doing it.
We should note that this is sort of an artistic flourish of the showrunners, right? We don't get any of this feast in the novella. We have mentioned to the Laughing Storm in terms of his martial prowess, right? He's great at the lists. You know, he's great at the tilts. This guy is, in addition to being a great lord, he's just a fantastic performer and horseman and swordsman. And so he's a little bit Jaime Lannister in that way. Mm-hmm. But we don't get any kind of indication of like what his true personality is in this way in the novella.
Well, yeah, I was saying I hoped that they expanded on some of the side characters, and this is exactly what I meant.
Exactly. Yes.
This was perfect for me. Yeah, it's a fun character, and of course, you know, everyone can be like, Baratheon, I know that name. Or if you don't know that name, then watch the original Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see where this family ends up.
Yeah. We will see. The Lord Paramount of the Stormlands. All right. I don't know if there was much more substance to say to the scene other than we didn't really talk about Sir Manfred and the total rejection of Sir Arlen. And really, I thought what was most interesting about that is Sir Manfred actually has kind of a point.
Yeah.
Of like, we've forgotten people who sacrificed a lot more than, you know, an injury, a wound in that. And you're asking me to vouch for you? Like, I don't know you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very naive of Dunk to think that he would remember him in the first place, you know, that he was one of hundreds, that Sir Arlen was one of hundreds. Dunk was just a kid, so it was that long ago as well. It just shows how little Dunk understands not even just this world, but just the world in general. How things work, how people's memories work.
Yeah. Poor Dunk. He's really really taken a lot on the chin this episode.
Mm.
And right after he was gassed up by Lord Lionel. You know?
Even Lord Lionel, though, at the end of the day, is like, you know, the conversation does it ends with, you know, what can you do? Well, how can I help you? It's just like, I don't know, man. You have no chance. And yeah. I'm tired and I'm drunk. You know, it's sort of like that was it. That was all.
Good chat, bro.
The end of the conversation.
Yeah.
It was a one night stand. I understand. All right. Well, we've got a lucky star to wish on at Dunk's campsite. The stable boy is cooking dinner. He once again asks to be Dunk's squire, and Dunk agrees to let him do a trial run for the tourney. Dunk dubs himself Sir Duncan the Tall and promises his new squire egg, clothes on his back, and food in his belly. When they go to sleep, Egg notices a falling star, and that will give them luck as they sleep under the stars while the other knights are all in their pavilion.
Yeah, I love that touch, you know, like, so the luck is just for us, you know, because we're in these poor circumstances, it actually exposes us to maybe new opportunities that the people safely tucked in their fixed pavilions don't have.
I do like that Dunk is a little bit slow to understand what Egg is trying to say. Like, they're saying, look, those guys, they're looking at their silk tent ceilings. Here we are under the stars. I think initially Dunk's thinking, why don't you shut up about the pavilions? I don't have one, you know? And then he thinks about it for a minute and thinks, oh, maybe he's saying that the luck is ours alone.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is when I just think this is when the actor kind of wins my heart, you know, Dexter Soul. What's his name? Dexter Soul. What's his? Anyway, what he does is he just kind of grins silently to himself. Like, yeah, you're getting it. You're a little slow, but you're getting what I'm putting down. I also liked his eyes when, he kind of lights up when Dunk is explaining how hard being a squire is going to be. Like, you're going to be on the road. You're going to be sleeping under trees. You're going to get wet. You're going to be eating hard, salted meat.
Meat slop soup. What did you call
it? I'm not going to beat you unless you deserve it.
Yeah, and sloppy steak.
If you're watching Egg's eyes just kind of light up like, I can't believe this. I'm going to have an adventure. This is going to be great.
Better than being stuck in one place, right? Doing the same thing, whatever it is you do all day. Yeah.
Watching some dude get drunk.
The other interesting thing is that Egg kind of plays the role of the older sibling or the parent here, right? He's the one passing down the lore and the traditions to Dunk instead of the other way around. And I think that foreshadows some of a dynamic of, hey, we're going to teach each other. It's not just going to be a one-way street. Okay, so that's our recap. We are going to come back after the outro and do another book spoiler segment, just a short book spoiler segment. So everything will be safe until you hear the credit music. Just really quick, I want to remind everybody, the other two podcasts a week are going to only be on the Properly Howard Movie Review feed. So, Anthony, if you want to quickly just remind people where to get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just do a search for Properly Howard Movie Review. If you search for Properly Howard, it'll probably come up with whatever feed, whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. Steve and I usually review movies, and yet for the next 6 or 7 weeks, we're going to be doing an instant take. That'll be Sunday nights over at Properly Howard, and we'll also do a Friday afternoon feedback. And you can send those, you can send feedback to smallcouncil@thelorehounds.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
That is right. That is right.
Or you can send them to cocoonsofhorror@gmail.com, or you can post them to the Discord that's dedicated to this page, to this show, and we'll include a link tree Linktree link in the show notes of this episode. How'd I do?
Very good.
All right.
You did great. So yeah, go over to Properly Howard, check that out. You'll get more Westerosi content over there. You should also check out Nevermind the Music, doing weekly coverage of music and psychology. They did Shaggy last week. I don't even know what they dropped today because I haven't had a chance to look, but they have plenty of stuff coming out every single week. Radioactive Ramblings is covering Fallout, and they are having a great time doing it. Not quite weekly, but regularly. I hear season 2 is going great, so make sure you are on that feed. Alicia, anything on your two feeds before we talk about what's going on in the Lorehounds?
I have been busy right now with the Lorehounds feed. I swear the Dune stuff's coming very soon and more Star Wars. But yeah, on the Lorehounds feed, in addition to you and David doing weekly the Pit coverage, we just released an MCU versus DCU looking back slightly, but mostly looking ahead, and pitting them head to head and deciding which one wins.
No ties.
You heard John say that?
I sure did.
There was not a tie in the end. I'll say there was a definitive answer in the end.
That's good.
Yeah, and we've got lots of other little one-shots coming up. Like, we're going to do Percy Jackson with, actually, Jean really wanted to join Marilyn and I for that. So it's going to be the three of us for Percy Jackson. The last episode comes out tomorrow as this is released, I think. And, then also there's going to be probably after that, there will be, first there's going to be Wonder Man one-shot because that's dropping on the 27th. Super excited for that. And then there's going to be a 28 years later, The Bone Temple. An episode about the movie. I've seen it. I loved it. Not as much as the first 28 years later, which is one of my now favorite movies of all time, but I still gave the Bone Temple 5 stars, and I am starting Ralph Fiennes' Oscar campaign for next year.
Very nice. All right. Well, let's give our quick thank yous and get out of here. Our Discord server boosters, Aaron K., Tiller the Thriller, Doove71, Athena A., Lestew, Nancy M., Ghost of Partition, Radioactive Richard, and Adrian. You want to read our lore masters, Alicia?
Yes, our lore masters, our highest tier of subscribers, Samartian, Michael G., Michelle E., SC, Peter OH, Nancy M., Doove71, Brian8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Gareth C., Andrew B., Kwong Yu, Nathan T., Sub-Zero, Aaron K., Deli V., Mothership61, Gnarls, Kathy W., Listu, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Ben B., Scott F., Stephen N., Julia F., Colley S., Ilmariel, Paul K., Rocky Zim, Jessica A., Red Zippy, The TCS, Dopamini, Catch It, LNR, Mrs. Tennant, AC Wilson, Eli W., Cassie K., Chumbaruni, Castilla, Josh Liu, Paint and PDX, Corey G., and always last, Adrian. And all of you and the Lorehound subscribers will have access to a Fargo movie breakdown this weekend. Special for subscribers.
Very cool. I'm very excited to watch it. I've never watched it before, so it's going to be fun.
Really? Oh, and you love the Coen brothers, don't you?
I do, and I also loved season 5 of Fargo, which is the only season I've seen.
Okay.
I haven't seen the show.
Yeah, I have not seen the show. But I have seen the movie before, so this is a rewatch of the movie, and then I'm going to use it as a launch pad to finally start watching the show.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's about it for me. So don't forget, we're going to be doing a spoiler talk quickly after the credits. So stick around if you want that. If not, see y'all next week.
Bye.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and comments to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com. Get ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts on Patreon or Supercast, and connect with us on Blue Sky and join us on our Discord server. Links for everything are in the link tree in the show notes.
Passing the keys over to Maester Anthony for the book spoiler talk.
And this is big book spoilers, so don't. I've heard people stuck around for our White Tower stuff for the Wheel of Time and regretted it. They're like, oh my God, you actually said all book spoilers. So, yes.
Yes, you are the master of your own ship. Proceed at caution, storming ahead. Now, as readers of the novella know, there are a few Targaryens about, and we find out later that they've gone missing. A couple Targaryens include the guy that we met, the drunken dreamer, He's gone missing. They don't know where he's at. And then a young boy named Aegon. Now, in my instant take with David, David was like, Aegon? It's gotta be Aegon, right?
I mean, yeah,
it's gotta be short for Aegon. And I think it's a fundamental difference between if you're hearing it versus whether you're seeing it on the page. Because if you have the that sort of phonetic similarity between egg and Aegon, you hear it. In the book, it's EGG. And Dunk assumes that it's because of his shaved head that the other mean kids have sort of derisive nicknamed him Egg. But I think in this show, a lot of viewers are going to see the clue that David saw. They're going to assume that this is sort of a lost Targaryen prince and sort of posing as a squire. And I think there's a few indications of this, you know. Number one, there's a guy inside that looks very much like a Targaryen. And so it could be that Egg is attached to that guy instead of the innkeep, right?
Right. And we hear the innkeep said, did my boy run? Did he help you or did he run off again?
Right. And of course, Dunk is not really picking up any of these clues, right? And he's not going to. He's not going to pick up the clues until, you know, the big identity reveal. But I'm just wondering what you all think about how fans will receive the identity reveal, especially if most of them have already guessed.
Yeah, I find it a shame that so many are going to guess, but I know not all will. I think it's funny. I've seen other content creators, you know, talking about previews of the show and things like that. And just the way they skip over that, they're like, well, here's what the Targaryens are like there. And then the youngest one is just a child, moving on.
Right.
So, yeah, I find it a shame that people are going to be spoiled, but I think it's still satisfying. And I think, like, as you said, if you're paying attention, then you see the clues. You see, and what I was hinting at earlier when I said, you know, I couldn't really talk about it because of spoilers, is the imperiousness of him, that he is behaving like a princeling who is amused by this man, but knows that he's also, he's never had someone speak to him, like threaten to clock him or something, you know.
Clout him in the ear.
Yeah. And then and then the funny part where Dunk throws basically a penny at his feet and he's like, I know you'll scramble for it when I go away. And he's like, I don't think I've ever seen currency so small.
Right. Yeah. Once you know that, it's almost an interesting juxtaposition between the coinage. Mm-hmm. It's like Mr. Drunken Dreamer just put down a gold dragon.
Right.
And now you're seeing this copper star at the feet of Egg, and you have to wonder, like, it just looks like dirt to him, you know. Yeah. It's completely worthless.
Yeah, so, I was wanting him to pick it up because I'm like, if you're going to be following Dunk needs that money. He needs every copper.
Right. I was just thinking, like, Dunk goes, oh, we're out of coin. Hey, can you pull out that copper I gave you? Oh, I didn't pick it up. That was a week's wages.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that there's, I mean, that's part of the fun is to have the egg reveal in this first novella.
Right.
But I think that there's enough intrigue. There's enough interesting personalities. There are a couple other little twists that are along the way that I think will surprise folks.
Do you think that they're going to let Egg get some silver stubble on his head as a sort of clue to people as well?
Oh, huh. I doubt it. I don't know. It doesn't really happen in the novella.
No,
there's no indication that his hair grows in.
Where's the kid getting razors from?
It's a great question.
Like, that is a clean shave. That is a Sweeney Todd level shave.
And it's also why is his brother, we can say he's traveling with his brother, why is he like, okay, you can shave your head to pretend not to be a Targaryen?
I think they address that in the novella, is that he also didn't want to be found because he didn't want to compete in the tourney.
Right. Okay. Oh, right. So that was part of the disguise. Right. Okay.
Right. Thank I thought his brother shaved his head, actually, the first time.
I don't
time,
know if his that? Brother cares about no. much.
He definitely he doesn't care, but he doesn't want to die either, you know?
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, there were a couple of little things that I thought were interesting that sort of bespeak future stories. Like, for instance, the Lionel Baratheon kind of being a little bit of homoerotic dancing.
This is basically Interview with a Vampire at this point.
I thought, you know, in The Mystery Knight, which is a future novella, Dunk has a conversation with a lord where there's almost a sexual undertone in the conversation. But you don't find that we probably won't encounter that guy until season three. So I thought it was interesting that they almost brought that, the spirit of that conversation, into this show only exchange with the Laughing Storm. And yet it kind of ends understated. You know, there's no explicit advance.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, true to this world that if you're gay and you are of a higher class, you might try to take advantage of someone of a lower class because you have something to offer that person. And unfortunately, power kind of dictates the relationship. So
yeah.
It's a gross detail. Martin is not above adding details like that. And I thought it was understated, but clearly, John, you were.
I think the key difference with the conversation that you're referring about from the third novella is that this doesn't have any lecherous quality to it. Like, maybe he does find Dunk attractive. Maybe he does want to flirt with him a little bit, but that's not really. We mostly just see him connecting with him as a full person, having a real conversation with him. And that, I think, tells us something about this Baratheon, that maybe he's certainly better than Manfred or what's his face? Fossaway, Stefan.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe, yeah, that is an important juxtaposition and very important, I think, in terms of LGBT representation, that just because you're gay doesn't mean you're lecherous. Sometimes you're just, I don't know if I want to call him a nice guy, but I think he's not a bad guy as far as we've seen so far.
In this particular moment, mm-hmm. he seems okay, right? He seems like a fun guy to party with. I'm not sure if that is going to.
He's chaotic neutral, I would say. I here's what I think happened is he was convinced. He was like, I'm going to climb this guy like a tree. He was he was convinced to taking him home. And then Dunk decided to tell him his entire life story over wine. And he's like, fuck, I can't trust this guy's discretion. We're calling it off. And then he takes his horns back and he finds another person.
I missed the metaphor that he's literally horny.
But ching. I know. I think I'm viewing him a bit more positively for now than the two of you. His intentions.
Oh, I don't think he's a bad person. I think he wanted to use Dunk, but in all the right ways. But I think he was a fine person. We might see his behavior differently later, but he messed with Dunk, but I think it was mostly harmless, right? Like, he was never, Dunk was not in real danger in this night.
No, he was kinder to him than the sex workers were.
Yes, exactly. Like, he actually, I do think he genuinely forged a connection with him for a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those connections that's like, you get really drunk with somebody and like, you have a real connection for a night and you never think about them again. And I think that's exactly what they just had.
Well, they're still at the same tournament, so we'll see.
Do you think he was so drunk that he won't even remember Dunk the next day?
Was he that drunk when Dunk arrived, or was he only that drunk by the end?
I don't know. I mean, he can't even remember his speech early on.
Well, that's true.
Mm.
I mean, I think he'll remember him because maybe, especially if John's theory is correct, big handsome dude. Of course I'll remember him.
Huh.
You're like, I have flashes of dancing with the big handsome dude.
Who could forget those shoulders?
I think that that's all I had for spoilers. Was there anything else?
No, yeah, I don't want to spoil too much.
I think let's bring it up as it comes up, because otherwise we're gonna blow our whole
spoiler wad.
Right away, you know.
What episode do we think that the egg reveal will happen in? Do we think that they'll speed it up?
It's going to be the third episode. I've heard people who've seen the entire show.
Okay.
All right.
Punt, third episode.
I can live with that.
All right. Cool. One more week of playing coy.
Well, everyone, have a great week. We will be back with, Anthony and Steve will be back on Friday with a feedback episode. And then we will be back with another breakdown next week.
Until then, keep it moist.
All right.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.